Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Belt Selling with Stephanie and Anna Scheller. I'm Anna.
And I'm Stephanie.
We are a mother-daughter team from South Central Texas, and we teach you how to grow your business by getting more sales. And so it's really, really important at any given time that you understand the sales process. But see, we also come from a black belt perspective. Stephanie and I are both black belts in the martial arts. And the discipline, the mindset, the just stick-to-itiveness that you need to have to get a black belt is what we also bring to sales training to help you become a master at sales. And today I'm really excited about the topic we're bringing up because I think it's so easy, Stephanie, at the end of the year for people to say, well, I'll just get to that later. There's so much going on. And yet we know that every minute we procrastinate getting to an important project means that it's going to actually end up causing us more stress in the holiday season. What do you say about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And yet, you know, even today I made a post to Facebook as I'm looking at, and not Facebook, but Twitter, I'm looking at my day and I'm just not feeling it. Just not feeling it. Just, you know, just, let me see what I realize, you know, I've already got turkey brain. I'm already like starting to unload myself and get ready for the holiday. You know, we're not there yet. It's too early to be pulling those kinds of stuff. So I absolutely agree. We start to slow things down. We start to, let me put it off. You know what? And here's my favorite one to do for myself is, you know what? I am such a high-powered caller. I will be able to blow through 60 calls on Monday. No problem. You know, that'll be easy. Oh, I have appointments in the afternoon. I'll just make sure I get up early Monday morning and make sure I blow through those calls.
Yeah. How's that working for you, Stephanie?
So far, so bad. So far it's not, you know, every time I do that, and it's not just around the holidays that I tend to do that type of thing, it's all the time, you know, I'm going on, I'm doing my own thing, and all of a sudden I'm like, you know, I'm really tired, I'm going to take a nap, I know I've got all these things to do, but I'll catch up, I can catch up, that's me, come on, I can catch up on anything, and then next thing I know, I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that, and I've got this excuse, and I've got that excuse, and it's the end of the week, and I'm looking at it going, what did I accomplish? Absolutely nothing. It's very easy to get caught up in that, and it's particularly easy around the holidays because every other time of year, you know, there's enough people pushing through that you don't tend to it's a little bit harder for you to give yourself that excuse. This time of year, you've got so many people already taken off and so many people posting about this holiday season and tradition and that. It's so much easier to give yourself permission. You know, no one else is pushing through this either. So I'll just take care of it after the holidays. No one's going to be in the office. Why bother making calls next week? No one's going to be in the office anyhow. I'll just take the whole week off. No one's going to be in the office anyhow. So easy this time of year because everyone's doing it, right? Everyone's doing it. So let's all jump off the cliff together.
Well, and you know, and that's the reason I felt it was important for us to have this discussion today, because it is really super easy to slide into, well, you know, I can just do this after Thanksgiving. And certainly, if you have to make a bunch of phone calls and you know people are going to be out of the office next week, maybe next week is not the week for phone calls, but there are other things that you can do that will help you set you up for success. You know, speaking of that, I remember when Master Cromwell would come and visit us, and I remember one distinct time that Master Cromwell, for those of you of our listening audience who don't know who he is, in the black belt ranks, we don't get to put in hours in order to test. You get to put in years before you get to test for your next rank. And when you hit the fourth degree in Taekwondo, you are called a master. But to get to fourth degree means that you probably spent, 10 to 12 years in the martial arts, studying, practicing, training, studying, practicing, training. So when I tell you this man, Master Cromwell, and I think at the time he was a fifth degree black belt, so he'd spent well over 15 years in the martial arts. He was teaching us how to do our techniques. And he said, when you finish one technique, you want to set yourself down in preparation for the next one. In other words, when you kick, you don't just drop your leg. You kick, you bring it back so that you're in control, and then you get ready for the next technique. So when you're ready to fire off the next technique, you've prepared by ending the first technique well. That helps you get ready to do the second technique well. And I want to talk about that specifically when it comes to finishing 2015. We're not just trying to get our to-do list finished. We're trying to set ourselves up to succeed in 2016. It's not about getting it done. It's about getting ready for the next year. So as we're talking about the different ideas here that we're going to be sharing with you, our listening audience, I want you to think about how can I, as I'm working through this project, start to set up for next year. We want you to keep that end in mind. We want you to think about what you're headed into next year, what your goals are for next year. Don't wait until December 31st. Think about that now. What do you want to do now? What can you do now to set yourself up so that you're successful next year, whatever your endeavor is?
Yeah,
so
go
ahead.
Talk about that. Just a quick second. One of the things.
Sure.
The thing that Grandmaster, Master Cromwell, and I don't think you mentioned this, Mom. Maybe I missed it if you did. But once you get to the degree of fourth degree black belt, you are not guaranteed becoming a master. You can be a fourth degree black belt without being a master. You have to show and prove that you know what you're talking about. You have to show and prove that you can teach, you can train, and you can bring other people up to that level of mastery. But that was one of the things I want to talk about. But I also want to talk about a portion of that. See, when he talks about you do everything with the intention of setting yourself up for the next block, the next strike, the next movement, there is power in momentum. See, you get going. I always ask people this because I hear from people as a coach. I hear from people all the time. You know what? I have got to figure out where I'm going before I'm going to head in that direction. I've got to figure out how to do it before I can do anything. And I always ask people, where are you going to burn more gas? Getting the car up to 70 miles an hour or turning the wheel so you can make a change in direction? You see, there's power in momentum. You get yourself moving. You get yourself moving in a way that you're set up for the next move so that you don't have to lose all your momentum. You know, when I'm teaching Taekwondo, I see these kids, and, man, sometimes they are struggling out on the floor. And they are sweating, and they are working so hard to do what I'm telling them to do. And I look at them, and I'm like, if you would stop fighting yourself, it would be so much easier. Because you stop yourselves in between each move. You slam on the floor. You see, if they would take, you know, let me do a front kick leading to a round kick leading to a spin back side kick, those flow together. And that means that type of kick, you could break concrete with that kick.
Yeah.
When we talk about do one thing with the intention, complete the technique with the intention of setting up the next move, what we're talking about is setting you up to have a more powerful year than you even realize you will be able to set up for yourself.
Yes, and that's extremely important. That's why you can't wait till the end of the year to decide how much weight you're going to lose. You can't wait till the end of the year to decide how much money you're going to make. You can't wait till the end of the year to decide which projects you're going to work on next.
Mm-hmm.
Create a plan now. Create a plan now so that you can do this, so that you can be successful next year. There's not a whole lot you can do to change what 2015 has brought you. And let's face it, 2015, all of the results that you are reaping right now, that's the result of actions you've taken all year. So if you're happy with them, continue doing what you're doing. But if you're not, then listen carefully. Listen carefully. And even if you're happy, I want you to really pay attention, because the things we're going to be sharing on this show today, those things are going to help you continue that momentum, continue that success. That was a great, great point, Stephanie.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. I come up with those every so often.
Yes, you do. You're amazingly brilliant.
All right.
Now, well, the first thing, though, I want to encourage people to do is you need to make some time, and all of this is going to take time. So if you think, I don't have time, I want you to consider the other side of this. You don't have time not to do it. You don't have time to get caught up in everything that's happening so you don't get anything done. Make the time to do what we're talking about. Go ahead.
Here's what my coach always says. He says, if you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them. So if you want to tell us about how much you do not have time, guess what you will not have next year either? Time. You want to tell me about how much you don't have enough money? Guess what you will not have next year? Enough money. You want to tell me you won't have enough focus, you don't have enough self-control, you don't have enough discipline? Guess what you get to keep? So pick what you want to argue for. Pick what you want to make your excuses for. And pick wisely, because you can have whatever you want in life. You just have to make a decision to have it. So before you try and tell us, man, I just don't have enough time, Steph, ask yourself, do I want to always be in this position? Do I want to always be in this position? Take it away, Mom.
Good point. Good point. So carve out some time, even if it's just 30 minutes. Carve out some time to get started on this. And the first thing I want to encourage you to do is to do a brain dump. Now, a brain dump is where you get a large sheet of paper or even a notebook, because when you get started, you're going to find that lots of ideas are going to start coming to you. So to do a brain dump, what you want to do is you want to sit down, you want to set a timer, so that if you don't have a lot of time to devote to it, you're giving yourself at least 30 minutes. You start the timer and you begin to write down every single thing you have to do. It could be as little as taking out the trash. It could be as big as turning in that budget report. It could be making 50 sales calls next week. Whatever it is, and start writing and keep writing. The thing is, when you get started, you will find that you're going to have a hard time stopping. And so, but you have to write everything down. Now, some people like lists, and lists are great for people who like lists. I personally like to do something called a mind map. And what a mind map is I put a circle in the middle of my paper. So it really doesn't work well for lined paper. I like to use copy paper. And I put a circle in the middle, and that's the big goal that I have that I still have to work on. That's my big, big goal. So for me, I'm working on a book. So my book is sitting in the center of that. And then I start to draw lines to everything that feeds into making the book happen. And that's extremely important, because when you start to think of your project, you can get easily overwhelmed by the amount of work it's going to take to complete your project. And by putting it down on paper, and I do like the mind map, because let's say that one idea for the book is, okay, so I'm going to publish the book, which means I have to find a publisher. And that means that, so then I draw a line from find a publisher to contact so-and-so for people that she's used for publishing. And then that so-and-so, though, may end up helping me with my manuscript. So then on the other, maybe I have another line out from the book that says, complete manuscript. So then I can tie manuscript and the person that I need to contact for publishing, I can tie them together so that I know that that's an interrelated situation. Because not everything we do fits in nice, neat, equal lines. But a lot of times when I contact, let's say I contact a friend of mine, Peggy, and I say, Peggy, you know, she's the one helping me with formatting the manuscript. So when I talk to Peggy, then I can also deal with other issues that I have on my mind map. But you got to get it on paper. You got to get it out of your head, because keeping it in your head, it takes energy to keep that stuff inside your head. And you'll be constantly wondering. You'll lay in bed going, what did I forget? What did I forget? What did I forget? So you got to do a brain dump, and you have to make time to do it, because if you don't, you're not going to get the things accomplished that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You will, you know, I used to live in those moments. I was going to say I lived, and then I realized that might not be heard as well over the radio, but I used to live in those moments, you know, the, oh my gosh, what did I forget to do? What did I forget to do? What did I forget to do? You know, I have scraps of paper everywhere on my desk, and, you know, I know, Mom, you and Dad would always sit on as kids for not making our room, cleaning our rooms when we were kids, and we'd always say, well, I know where everything is. I know exactly which pile that jacket's in. I know exactly which, you know, and my desk is a little bit of the same. And I used to think, oh my gosh, you have to have this super, super organized. You know what? It doesn't, as long as you understand it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to release you from the idea that this mind map has to be pretty. I want to release you from the idea that this mind map has to be readable or legible to anybody but you. You know, I have people joke with me all the time, well, you'll never be able to read my handwriting. My two-day seminar over the weekend, I had one of the guys who didn't want to write in the workbook I gave him because he was like, you're never going to be able to read the handwriting. And I looked at him and I said, it's not for me. It's for you. Can you read your handwriting? He's like, well, yeah. I was like, that's all that matters. So relax. Take a minute. Get the things out of your head. Stop trying to hold things in your head. By bottling stuff up in your head, you're holding yourself back from thinking about the potential you have in front of you. And then, of course, once you get your mind map, your list, whatever it is, your brain dump out, prioritize what's important. Look at the list. You know, I like to go back whenever I do a mind map. I'll go back with a colored Sharpie, and I'll start circling the things that have to be done today in red and the things that have to be done by the end of the week in purple and the things that I want to get done in blue and the things that, you know, would be great, but I don't – they're not a huge priority. I'll put them in blue. And so go back and prioritize your list. You know, yesterday I wrote out my to-do list for the day. And then I backed up a second, and I, along the side of the sheet, I wrote down, you know, this is the most important thing I do today. This is the second most important, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. By the time I got to the end of the day, I had 5 and 6 left on the list. I looked at them, and I said, okay, I could go to bed without having these two done, but they're both going to be pretty easy to do. So I took care of them both real quick. But by prioritizing it, I made sure that the stuff that actually had to get done, the revenue-producing activities, were the ones that actually got taken care of. You know, once you get to that stage, you may have to modify your list. You may have to say, okay, you know, finding someone to talk to about getting a cover design for my book is crazy, crazy important, desperately need it. But I don't even know where to start for that one. So why don't I just reach out to Facebook first and see who out there knows who I could talk to? So you may have to reprioritize. You may have to modify steps. You may have skipped steps, add steps. Make sure you have a list of action steps, because oftentimes I've found that paralysis, people, you know, they are paralyzed by looking at their list. Oh, my gosh, it's such a big list. How am I going to get this all done? Paralysis often comes from the fear of the unknown. If you have a very easy step, 1, 2, 3, to go for, it makes your job extremely easy to start.
Right. And the thing you can tell yourself, too, especially when you have a big project, and we're now at the end of the year, really. I mean, next week's Thanksgiving in the United States, and then after that, boom, 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 Christmas is around the corner, and then New Year's. So the important thing about that is to realize that you can take even one little step to getting it done. Just one step. And that can help you get a sense of accomplishment as well. One step. That's all it is. One step. And you can have a sense of accomplishment. And you'd be surprised because one step leads to the next step because you know what to do. Clarity is powerful. You know what to, and when you know what to do, you're more likely to do it. Set yourself up for success. This is all about setting you up for success, not just this year. But see, as things happen, you can have like, I have a file, for example, on my computer that says outtakes. So what it is it's a really good idea. It's something that needs to happen, but I can't deal with it right now. So I put it in outtakes. Maybe it's part of my mind map. I'll look at it and go, oh, can't do that right now. I'll put that one in outtakes. And then I go back to outtakes. I look at outtakes and I go, okay, this is a really good idea. I can act on this now. Wow, okay, so we're just cooking right along. But what we're talking about with this brain dump and prioritizing is ultra important because it's going to help you get ready for the success you're looking for, not just to finish here, but to get started with next. Now, Stephanie, let's talk about deadlines. Oh, my goodness. I think people hate deadlines.
Oh, people hate deadlines, but we work so well under pressure. Humans in general work well under pressure. You know, the whole Procrastinators Unite tomorrow. Meeting of Procrastinators Anonymous has been postponed indefinitely. We make jokes about it, but when we give ourselves a deadline, how often have you seen the TV show, or perhaps some of you have lived it, where you had a paper due, and it's due the next day. You knew it was due all semester long. You postponed, you procrastinated until the last minute because you're pretty sure you could get it done last minute, and then you end up staying up all night. But you know what happens? You get it done by the deadline. You know, the biggest example of this one I can use with people, talk about this all the time. My book, Friend Power, the vast majority of that book, about 80% of that book, was written in January of 2012. January of 2012, the book did not get published until April of 2014. You know what changed? I set a deadline. At first, because June of last year, I said, okay, I want to publish the book. So I wrote that goal out. December of last year, I looked at my goal and said, I haven't made any progress towards this goal. I need to attach a deadline to it. So I attached a deadline. I said, I'm going to have this book finished by the end of the quarter, by the end of the first quarter. The book was finished by the middle of March, published and hit bestseller at the end of April. Deadlines force you into action. Deadlines hold you accountable. Deadlines make you work harder than you would have worked. They give you a non-negotiable time frame because when you don't have a deadline, it's easy to go to bed and I'm tired. I'll get it done tomorrow. When you have a deadline that says, no, your taxes have to be turned in by April 15th or you're going to get hit with fines. Guess what happens? You stay up till midnight and you submit your taxes at 11:59 p.m. You get it done. Deadlines work. Now, here's the trick. They have to be deadlines that are realistic for yourself.
Yes.
You cannot write a 30-page paper in one night. Don't care who you are. Unless you have done all the research prior, done all the prep work prior, you've outlined it, and you've done a whole bunch of prep work, you cannot take a paper from inception to completion 30 pages in one night. You have to have realistic deadlines for yourself. Why don't you talk about that one a little bit, Mom?
Well, it is really important to be realistic because we're here to tell you to set yourself up for success. And you need to set aside chunks of time to get this done. Again, this is all about scheduling and it's all about self-discipline, which is a powerful black belt characteristic. Black belts are disciplined. Whether you like it or not, you do it. And I want to talk really quickly about doing something called a lockdown. Now, a lockdown, let's say you have a big project and you know, when you come to the office, there's this distraction, that distraction, this thing going on, that thing going on. And, you know, before you know it, 4 hours have passed and you haven't even read your emails yet. And then there's going through the emails on top of it. So when you have a project, especially where there's concentrated work you have to get done on it, you want to go into lockdown. And you want to pick times to do your lockdown when you're not going to be distracted. So very quickly, very, very quickly, I'm going to talk about how to do a lockdown. And then if they want to make a comment in the chat or reach out to us on Twitter, then I'll be happy to send a free report on how to do a lockdown. But essentially a lockdown is you set aside, I usually do 3 hours at a pop because that's about as much as I can tolerate. I do 3 hours where I turn off my phone. I turn off all social media notifications. I don't turn on the internet unless I need it for research. And I set timers. I use the Pomodoro technique, and I'll set timers to just sit down and work solely and completely on the project. I make sure I have food so that if I get hungry, that's not a distractor. I make sure I have something to drink, coffee, water, whatever I need, to make sure that I stay fueled so I can stay on task and focused. Probably you're going to need to do this away from family and friends because they're not going to understand all the time. So you may have to do it away from people who are well-meaning but will be distracting to you. And then you just focus. You take a break every 30 minutes, maybe a 10-minute break, and you get back on track. What you find is you get a lot accomplished in those 3 hours. You'll get more done than you thought possible in those 3 hours. You can do it longer. Depending on your project, you may need to do one or more lockdowns. But this is a very powerful technique to get a lot done without distraction. You schedule it, you know, like you would schedule anything else, and you discipline yourself to do it. Don't give yourself excuses. Just do it. So if anybody's interested listening to that, contact me or Stephanie, and we'll get that to you. No problem at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know we're coming up really quickly on the end of time here. I don't know how these radio shows go so quickly. But I also want to give you one last one. And I know this one always comes across a little bit strange coming from me as a coach. But here is one of the best techniques I can give you, and that is get a coach. Get someone to hold you accountable. You know, I did a training yesterday, and I talked to these people about, you know, different ways to be learning all the time, and one of the ways was mastermind, and one of the ways was to get a coach. And they asked me, where do I find a good coach, or where do I find a good mastermind? How do I get someone to mentor me? And I said, well, here's my best piece of advice. Make it someone you pay. Because here's the problem. You get someone who you don't pay, and they're not invested in holding you accountable, because we're all going to have problems, flaws, mistakes. We're going to make screw-ups. We're going to do stuff wrong. You need someone who, as I put it, is more invested in your success than you are. Not just because you're paying them to be invested in your success, but you need someone who is more invested in your success because they see the greatness inside of you, and that's what they see. They see your potential. They may see your flaws. They may see your problems, but what they really see is your potential. We tend to get caught up looking at our flaws and our problems. You have to find someone who sees your potential. This is someone who not only will hold you accountable, text you. You know, I texted one of my clients yesterday and said, hey, have you made any sales yet today? And they texted back, well, I called this one person and I've been doing, you know, all this stuff. And I said, that's not sales. Get back into sales. You need sales. Get back into sales. Coaches hold you accountable to get things done. You know, and I think, Mom, why don't we talk a little bit about that? Why don't we make that our topic for next week? We'll talk about coaching tips and tricks and what to look for in hiring a coach so that people can get a better idea of that for 2016.
Absolutely. Great.
We are up on the end of our time here, and I want to let you guys know we are working on big things over here, Black Belt Selling. You know, we're talking about momentum, set yourself up for the next step. We have some big steps coming. If you haven't noticed from the amazing guests we've been bringing on, the awesome topics we've been covering, we have some big things coming. We now have a CD out there. We are getting more CDs pulled together. Next year we'll be releasing books together. Black Belt Selling is going global. How exciting is that? So we will keep you guys in the know as we move forward on that. But until then, I'm Stephanie, here for Anna, and we are the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. Have a great week, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.